Welcome to Misunderstood Studios. I mean, it's been a minute and we've only had one episode. Ash. Well, I don't know actually, because there's so much that we've recorded that just hasn't been released. It's been chopped up. And it's in the works. I mean, running a brand ain't easy. We gotta make it consistent, you know. Consistency is key. Today I'm here with my brother. How are you doing?
Hey man, so these people are gonna hear the next couple episodes, which have already been pre-recorded, but we haven't released them, so it's a bit of a bummer. Me personally, I'm good waiting for that content to drop, especially because, you know, we're going to try and make it, you know, look like some Hollywood magic and do a bit of a mashup of a couple broken pieces of recording and put them together. But yeah, personally, I'm all right, man. Nothing crazy. I've been chilled. You know, got a new job, so I'm working, still training, putting in the grind. And once again, we're listening to groovy tunes here in studio, so I'm happy, man.
Nah, that's facts. That's facts. I mean, what can I say? What can we do? I mean, today we're speaking about Mjolo, not by my ass, but by the broken man on my right. I can successfully say I'm in a happy relationship and I prioritize emotions and not just the physical things. Khosi, can you say the same for yourself?
Hey, man. So, look, today is not just about Mjolo, dog. It's not just about Mjolo. I want to talk about dating in the 21st century.
Okay.
You know, dating is part of our generation. What does that look like when you are a 2000, you know? What does the dating scene look like for you? How have we been impacted by bad bitch mentality? You know, city boy mentality.
City boys up?
You know, I don't know about all of that. You know, how have we been impacted, or how's the dating scene been impacted by wokeism, the wokest agenda, you know? Yeah, because the dating scene is looking quite shambolic, man. I don't know anyone that's not crying from their relationship. Cool. And I mean, look, I'm going to say, I'm not taking a shot at your love, right?
Yeah.
You're still in high school. Right?
I was waiting for this.
No, but listen.
Carry on.
High school love is very beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not affected by the world just yet.
Correct.
And I miss my high school relationship.
Mm.
Right? I loved the girl and it was a beautiful situation. Hey man, let's not get into that. Right now. It was a beautiful situation of which I let go too early. Right? But it's alright. Because when I stepped into the real world, I know it wouldn't have worked in the real world, right? It was a high school love. And I think it's important. I feel like everyone should go through the experience of really falling deep in love and understanding what it feels like to be that emotionally connected to someone and be open to be as vulnerable as I feel I was in that situation, right? But I also know, at least in stepping out of that space, I don't know anyone right now that can claim that level of vulnerability and comfortability with a partner. And when you look on social media, that's all that people are chasing, you know? And I mean, the conversations that these niggas like Bo Andrew Tate and all these fools on social media have are centered around not necessarily having an intimate relationship with an individual, but rather having ownership over someone.
Yeah.
And I've been in relationships with like that. Like, my current situationship is a hand throwing herself at me, like, fully. And I don't mean that in a bad way, right?
No,
it's a hand completely willing to
give up everything.
Give up everything, love me, you know, put me first in her life. But the emotional connection for me just isn't there, right? And what these niggas, boy, Andrew Tate would tell me is just like, yeah, take the pussy and be happy. And I'm like, I don't want that. I need to feel like umuntu wami knows me deeper than anyone else. You know what I mean? Like, when I have a shitty day, that's the person I want to call and not be judged for how I feel and expressing myself. Because as a nigga in the streets, you can't do that. At least I feel like I can't. I've got a certain persona, a certain personality trait. And I'm not known as a guy who's emotional or vulnerable or soft, right? Yeah. But I need a space where I can have that type of outlet. And society has kind of broken that down within the relationship structure. Everything is now transactional. and not centered around true love or, you know, pure emotions of people. It's all about what can you give me and what can I give you. What if I can't give you anything?
What if financially,
look, we're both students, right? This is the dating scene right now. We're both students. I'm a guy, you're a girl. You at home, you know, you get 2,000 rand, right, as your allowance from home. Now, some of us get nothing from home. Now, if you're a young Khosi Mashokhane, you're going to hustle, though. You're going to find your way. You're going to coach here. You're going to work there. You're going to do what you need to do. Bartend. If you're like me, you're going to hustle to find it because you know it's not coming from home, right? Safe. Now, all of that, right? I'm going to date a hun that knows that she only gets 2,000. We're the same age.
Yeah.
She's going to want to go on date with me and the date is going to cost me 700. She's not going to lift a finger.
Okay, not
you know
that.
What I mean? Now, if you know that you only get 2,000, assume that you and I are on the same level financially because we're the same age and the same situation. 700 on a date spent on you alone is about half of my monthly allowance. So I'm going to spend 700 on you. What do I eat for the rest of the month? You know what I mean? Now, again, when I say you're horsey or you're a gentleman, I was raised in a way where I feel like I can't go on a date and have my hand be splitting bills with me. I'm sorry. I can't do it. My pride doesn't allow because me, I've got pride.
No. Me, I'll split that bill fast, eh? If I know we both struggling, I will split that bill so quick. You'll take 350. I'll take... Look, I get it. I get it completely. There's pride in everything. But I don't know. I feel like I'm more of the belief. Again, I'm not on the workers' agenda, but I'm also, I'm like, if we want to be equal, let's be equal everywhere, you know?
That's my thing, bro. This episode actually has the potential to be fuck long because there's going to be so many trail of thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I was about to go into, I don't believe that we're the same, male and female. I believe we're equal but different, right? And I know people don't like that conversation. And I'm not saying that a man can't, like women can't do what men can do, right? A woman can do anything she puts her mind to it. That's the truth, right? That's not even the chat I'm trying to have. The chat that I'm having, though, is that in our truest form, in our truest nature,
There are fundamental differences
between how we interact with society and how we're supposed to interact with society, that even if we're in a modern era and, you know, society has progressed to a point where if a woman wants to, she can do as much as her male counterpart, I feel like as a man, my duty in any relationship I walk into with a female is to understand that they positioned to be able to do as I can, but also my duty as a man is to make sure that they shouldn't have to.
Okay, this is where I'd say I really disagree, because I'm telling you right now, if my hun makes 8 figures, I will fully be a stay-at-home dad, and I don't care what anyone says, because I mean, I think I want that lifestyle, so oddly enough, I want to be able to be around my kids and be able to pick them up, watch them play their games, be able to do their homework with them, because, I mean, I understand my parents. My parents worked hella hard. They weren't able to be that for me in every sense. They were able to be there when they could, and I'm seeing it now, more now, as things get up for them. But I'm like, I really wish I just had the ability to have a father around. And I don't mean it in the sense of when, like, people say have a father around like he wasn't there, but having someone who is fully engaged 24/7. And obviously I'm not saying that I don't want to work, because I think I would kill myself having to sit at home doing nothing. But there's still a part of me that wants to be home, wants to live essentially with my children, because I'm not a big person who buys into the corporate world or buys into the male and female duties. I think I'm simply someone who wants to, if I'm going to have a relationship with someone, we understand that we're in this together and we make it work. I think if you feel that you're pressured by society to essentially fulfill certain roles, and I don't even think it's society, I think half of it's how we've been raised, then your relationship is very hard to gauge and is very hard to engage with, especially if a female doesn't want to fall into that. Because I mean, like, when I look at it, I don't know why that happened, but when I look at it, and I try and make sense of it. For me, where I think it goes into is this whole idea of, how do I say this? It fully goes into this idea of, there's an expectation of me that is placed by everyone else, but I'm going to break away from that. I'm going to step out of that. Because I think, to an extent, my family has been the type of individuals who have broken away from traditionally the woman being the one who cooks, the male being the one who provides and everything. And we're the first people who were like very not traditional. We were urban. We were living.
I hear you, bro. And I think we're having different conversations. In no means when I say that as a man, I feel like my job is, when I say, you know, a woman should be able to achieve in the same manner that I am, but she shouldn't have to in my household. In no mean am I then saying that, you know, I don't want to be a present father and I want to be, you know, completely just dedicated to the work while she stays home with the kids. I think kids is a different conversation, and for me, definitely, like, I've been fantasizing about being a father since I was like 14 years old, right? And I think personally it's because of how, you know, distant my relationship with my dad is, or how like torn it is with my father, that I can't wait to be a father, be a good and present father in my child's life, right? So that's a different conversation that I think, I'm not talking about gender roles right now. I'm talking about, like, you know, personally, right? I am the type of man who walks into society and by his peers is either feared, respected, revered, you know, or treated in a certain regard, right? And I'm not the guy who gives off I'm a very hyper masculine male.
Yes.
Right? I'm not the type of guy that omits emotion at an intense level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when I talk about, you know, wanting to understand our nuances within a relationship, I need my partner to understand that she's my safe haven in that regard. That she's where I get to go home and take off my armor just a little bit, piece by piece, for her, and not have to hide behind, you know, a facade. And I'm not saying it is a facade. I think I wear different masks, and sometimes it's hard to understand which one is your face. You know what I mean? But when I get home, I want to be able to wear the mask that I feel most comfortable in, which is being able to be a bit softer, be a, you know, a bit of a teddy bear, laughable, relax, and not be, you know, a militant, hard figure. This is how things are done. Instruct. You know, I don't want to be ubaba, wasendlini. You know, I just want to be somebody's partner. And I think that's the key, that's the word. And we misuse it nowadays. Partner now means someone that I'm with, right? And when I say partner, I'm not talking about, you know, someone I'm in relationship with, but I mean it holistically.
Yeah.
I want to be someone's partner. I want them to be my better half. You know, I want us to fulfill each other where we lack, right? I want to be able to uplift you where you come short, and you uplift me where I fall short. That's what I want. And I feel like I had that, man, at some point. I had that with a partner. But so I've got a scale.
Yeah.
Right? For relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's three categories. I think there should be four. But my scale goes, one, attractiveness is on it.
Yeah.
On how I judge a partner. Attractiveness. And then it's personality and relationship orientation in my perspective. Mm. Right? And the ideal partner. So the two partners in my mind that I think would have made great partners, right? Which is my ex.
Yeah.
And actually the person I left my ex for. Right? So one and two. I actually think both of them are superb individuals. They both rank number at 21 on my list, which is like out of 30.
Yeah.
They both get a rating of 21 out of 30. Obviously, for different. I think one is more attractive than the other, right? But the other one has a better personality than the other. I think actually personalities was equal, but relationship orientation is where there was a large discrepancy, and attractiveness is where there was a discrepancy, right? But here's my thing. Someone who's more relationship orientated, less attractive, but has a great personality, I'm willing to date you personally, right? Because I feel like you fulfill a lot in me that I need. Let me not lie to you. This year I've been with a hun who I rate highly in attractiveness. She scored a 15. This new hun scored a 15 out of 30. Attractiveness, high. Right? Okay, or like mid to high.
Yeah, yeah.
Personality?
Zero.
Zero. Like, I think I gave her a one. Let me look at this list. Right? No, I've actually got it written down. I think I gave her like a two, to be
Amen.
Kind. Right?
But no.
And then
relationship orientation. Zero.
No, I gave her a high relationship orientation. She's the type of person that just wants the absolute best for the next individual. Right? But unfortunately, I don't give a shit about that if your personality doesn't measure up. So, look.
Can I make an argument here, though, to say, I feel like you're in a very unique situation, just because I've lived with you. This is something your family always tells you. Listen to this just fast quick, guys. Khosi's never been the oldest, but he's always been the oldest sibling. Make that make sense. And it's almost in a way that, like you say, you've had to wear different masks, and I also think that's just a part of what the environment you've been raised in has been.
Yeah.
That your partner needs to be able to understand and unpack every environment, and feel engaged in it. Because, I mean, as much as Khosi gucks on high school relationships and like, well, I don't say cucks on it, but he says that there's little to no faith. I always say is, you by choice kind of accepted your thing was gonna end, and you made the decision there was a large consideration because there wasn't a belief that you guys could go on further, but there was a belief that you guys had so much love between each other, you didn't want to ruin that, by having to be forced into a specific situation.
Yeah, so my thing was, and I'm gonna be honest, why my first relationship ended, was because personality wise and, you know, my partner and I, we really just got each other.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been in any sort of relationship, friendship, any type of platonic relationship with an individual that gets me as much as she did. Right?
Fully.
Relationship orientation. My girl gets, what did I rank? I'm looking at the list. 4.
Yo.
Relationship orientation.
No ways.
Because here, when we were not too far from each other, right? I went to St. John's, she went to Kingsmead, you know?
4.
I lived in the south of Joburg, she lived in Parkhurst. You know, I spend most of my time in the north because my uncle's, you know, is here. My aunt is here in the north. So I was always like, you know, a good 10 minutes away from her at any given time. But we'd only see each other or like speak once or twice a week. You know, it wasn't like everyday type of vibes. It wasn't so relationship oriented. And I felt like I always had to make the effort to reach out.
My thing is, you're needy. You're a needy individual, and this is the argument.
Which is funny, right? Which is fun. I would agree with you when it comes to her. Mm. I was needy, right? But that's because she's so introverted. She's like a cat. She's like, I know I love you, but I don't need to love you over here every time, right? I can love you even when you're over there. That was her, right? And I was like, I want you in my space. I want to be around you. I want to be, you know. That was me then. Now, catch me with a hand that calls me 3 times on a day. I say, bitch.
this is the third one.
Like, when a hun calls me, after the second time you've called me in a day, I ignore your calls. Because I'm like, what are you doing, actually?
But that's because you don't... My argument is you don't love the person. Because I look at the perfect example between you and your mother. you're not a needy individual. Well, I think you're a needy individual when it comes to your mother, but in the sense that it doesn't have to be constant. You guys are very much the once in the week will speak for 6 to 8 hours, and then that's the week then done for you. Again. Yeah, never speak again, and that's their routine. And I think, weirdly enough, I find it ironic that it didn't work the same in a relationship. But I think that's because it's also slightly different.
I don't love my mom, though. No. You can't compare my relationship with my mother to my relationship with the romantic partner.
But no, I think... One thing I can say, though, is I think she was someone who very much understood you needed your independence, the same way I understand you need your independence.
Yeah.
But she didn't know how to work around it because... Also, like, I think she's a very dependent individual, but she's also very independent, which is weird. She's both at the same time. But when I looked at it, I really thought, like, our independence works because we've been able to be in the same house. Khosi will leave the house. I'll stay in the house, play games for the whole day. He'll come back and we'll talk. And it's odd. Our relationship's always been built on the fact that I've been the introverted one, you've been the extroverted one. Yeah. And we get the balance. We understand where it works. Khosi spends 2 days in the house and he thinks he's going to die. I spend 1 hour outside and I'm like, Lord, can we get back home?
Yeah.
So she understood you in that sense. And I think because she understood you and because I think she was the first person to actually make sense of it all, she almost gave you too much independence in a sense. Like that's, and I think that's what a lot of the issue is. Khosi, being a very dominant alpha male, needs someone to put him in line, needs to someone to say to him, hey baba, come home. And when I say in line, I don't think controlling, but you need someone to push you to a certain way.
I need someone who's not a pushover.
Yeah.
I need someone whose boundaries are just as strong as mine. And then I respect them. So therefore, because I respect my own boundaries, I'll respect yours.
No, but you did. And that's what I'm saying. She was someone. This is the difference. I think your boundaries were slightly too high. And that's also what made it difficult, because you guys were still in high school. You were trying to learn. Whereas I look at my relationship, I'm like, guys, I take an Uber to Centurion almost weekly. They come down here. There's a thing of we're always active. We're always calling. We're always talking. Does that mean I struggle in life? Oh, for sure. All the damn time, but it's a commitment we're willing to make.
I hear you. Firstly, I'm gonna say shout out to my ex, man. You're a beautiful individual, great like personality and all of that. 10 years from now, maybe we run it back. But and then dude, when it comes to your relationship, like I say, it's a beautiful thing. When I first saw it, I was a bit confused. I was like, this one, this doesn't scream Kumo. But I've seen you guys together, and I'm sure that the love there is genuine between you guys, and you guys work, right? She seems like she gets you. She's a cool chickie, and I hope that you guys are able to, you know, try sustain it beyond high school. I don't know how that's going to work with you trying to go to the States, but you don't have to think about it now. That's not the conversation we have. Right now, you got a beautiful thing. Keep it alive as long as you can. Don't fall into the pattern that I did. Right? But on the chat of relationships, now I want to go into how they've been impacted, like how the dating scene can be impacted by society and specifically wokeism. Because the second relationship that I spoke about, well, it wasn't really a relationship, but the person that I left. Well, I left for me. Let me not word it like that. I left for me.
Yeah.
Right? But my quote-unquote, who would have been my rebound, right? Or the person that I saw to be my next relationship.
You called them a statistical rebound. Yo, issue.
Let me not say that. But the person who I thought would be my next partner, for me, that she, again, on my list also scored a 21 off 30, right, of my rating. Which, guys, don't judge me when you hear that I have a rating. But like I said, it's personality, looks, and relationship orientation is the criteria.
You need a third one. You need a fourth one.
Right.
Intellect. I'm telling you, you need a fourth one.
Well, personality takes that into account, because I feel that I'm an intellectual individual. So when I say personality, it's personality tailored towards me. Right. Everybody's got a decent personality.
Cap.
Okay, yeah, that is cap. I'm trying to be nice, right? But like, all the females of which I've had this situation with have had nice personalities.
Yeah.
Right?
Jose keeps lying. You gave someone a what personality? A two.
Yeah.
That's lies. Lied again. Cease.
The two personality wasn't because they've got a bad personality. It's because their personality
doesn't exist. It's bad.
It's just so like anti, it's so different from mine.
In Jose's words, she's dumb. Yeah. And beyond, let me say in Kumo's words. Let me translate for the people who aren't getting this. She doesn't know how to hold a conversation.
Yeah,
she doesn't like. She
talk
like,
about that dumbest shit.
Yeah, like it's. I don't know how to say this. I feel like it's very much. It's like
this is a conversation baseline. With her. So pretty, so cute.
How are you, friends?
Oh, so pretty, so cute. Oh. Please, like literally,
no, there's nothing.
That's a conversation.
No substance,
with her.
Yeah,
no substance, zero. And I'm like, I need more.
But my argument then goes into this: people who have, I don't know, people. I don't want to say overly intellectual because people are gonna think this is very smart. But I think intellect is like just the ability to be knowledgeable about different things.
Yes.
In the wokeism space, can be very negative.
No, I need you to be a little woke, but. Not too much. Yeah, but just the drop. Because like, so I'm gonna go back to the second hand that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Second hand number two, the one who also scored a 21 of 30.
Oh, she hangs out with the woke crowd though. She
yeah,
is
she
woke.
Does.
Yeah.
She's hella woke, bro. She's, you know, she is the epitome of what wokeness looks like in the 21st century.
Sure.
Right? Feminist, yes. You know, black conscious, yes.
Pan-Africanist, all of it.
She's there, right? Which I was actually really attracted to, and I think that's what drew me to her.
That first mistake?
Yeah, you see, I think that's what drew me to her because of the conversations we were able to have. Yeah. And you know me, bro, when you can get my mind, I don't care what you look like. When you got my mind, I'm sorry, I'm folding.
This is how gents end up lambsing gents.
No, no, trimmer that chat. That's not where I'm going. I'm just saying, like, when a hand's got my mind, like, as when a hand's personality aligns with what I view as wifey material in my mind, right? I start seeing you as more attractive. Then what's the next person might. So this person
just says he wants to bone you. That's literally it.
Yeah. So like, no, this person, don't by no account am I saying she was unattractive. I think she was cute. Right?
Yeah.
No. I'm a stand by that. I know some people are gonna have their. I think she was cute.
If only I could quote my father in these.
No. Don't do that. We can't quote your father. But. I think she was cute. I did find her somewhat attractive, you know, but I think what caught me was her personality. Mm-hmm. And what lost me, though, was the, like we say, she was part of a woke crowd, right?
Yeah.
And she lost me because she couldn't separate society and her wokest agenda from us having a safe space together.
Yeah.
So any conversation that we had together, you know, by her was, you know, criticized on a scale of her
wokeism.
Of her wokeism, right? Mm-hmm. So for instance, how that ended, I just ghosted her. She still doesn't know the reason. In fact, if she listens to this, this is how she's gonna find out why I ghosted her.
Yeah, that's so tense. Yo, that is so tense.
She doesn't know why I ghosted her. We were talking one day. And then I just stopped responding to her messages. I know why. I have a very valid reason, in my opinion. So what happened was UCT's president of the SRC had just been elected, announced like 2 days ago, this type thing, right? And then, so 2 days after his announcement, she's just gotten to varsity and there's protests happening because an anonymous allegation has been made on him that he raped a girl, right? An anonymous allegation. Now, you know, but the allegation has specific times and days of when this incident took place, right? And I'm obviously, I call her because this is supposed to be my hand. We're working.
Yeah.
We're going towards that. So this is supposed to be my hand. I call her and I say, hey, what's happening, Queen? Like, what's the situation there in CPT? So she's telling me so and so. And I asked her, I was like, but when you take a step back, what do you think? I'm not one to, you know, already...
Hold a judgment.
So I didn't say that I exonerate this guy.
Oh, for sure.
Right? I didn't say that. But I also said I'm not going to, you know, highlight him as a perpetrator of a crime he may have not committed. Let's be honest. These SRC runs are hella competitive.
Fair.
Right?
Really competitive.
An anonymous Twitter allegation of a burner account can be made by anyone. And then the guy comes out and says he has a solid defense. So we say, what's the defense? He says, I wasn't even in the province that time. I'd flown to Joburg. I've got flight tickets that can prove I wasn't in the province. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, that's some substantial evidence.
Yeah.
That's what I said. So I'm having this conversation with the girl, right? And I'm saying he might have not done it after proving that evidence, saying I've got flight tickets to prove I was out of the province and whatnot. And I'm like, but I'm open to whatever evidence can, you know, be shared counter that.
Definitely.
So then someone then says, no, they saw him in Cape Town on that day. So he's lying. He wasn't. I'm like, I don't know if eyewitness
is valid enough,
you know, because you can't, if you're saying I was with him or I saw him, those are two different things.
Yeah.
If you're saying I was with him, then I had it, buddy. Your hands are tied. You did that shit.
Yeah, if you're saying
I saw him, you know, I thought I've seen a lot of people before. Yeah. You know, I've called some of my friends and been like, I was in Rosebank and I thought I saw you. And someone says, nah, not me, just a lookalike. And I say, ah, shit. Right? So that's where I was like, nah. So I'm talking to this Hannah and we're having this conversation, right? My partner, that's what I'm thinking. Someone I can be vulnerable, I can share my thoughts, even the most wrong thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eh, does this conversation not come back to me through the grapevine? A conversation I had in confidence with you comes to me, back to me in the grapevine. Gutiwa Khosi's a rape apologist.
Lord have mercy.
And I was like, wow, me? Like, I'm, you know, one of the biggest advocates for, you know, justice. I'm the type of individual who on a public platform has shared that I believe that rapists in South Africa should not only, you know, be castrated, but should be crippled. I don't believe in death. I think death is too easy. I've publicly said that these niggas should have their limbs chopped off, their tongues ripped out, and they should be blinded. So they cannot talk, Lord, they cannot see, they cannot cheer. All they can do, right, is be a nuisance for the people around them, and they lived to think. They only existence is to understand and to think about what they have perpetrated to get them to that point. Because I believe that rape, right, is worse than murder. Because what you do when you rape someone, right, that act of violence is so vicious. It's the act of killing someone's spirit, someone's soul.
Definitely.
Right? So you remove them from themselves. And I've never experienced this, right? But I can only imagine the psychological damage that comes with it. That you now force someone to live in a state where they have been degraded to that level. Because the only thing you have at the end of the day is your body. And when someone takes your bodily autonomy to say no away, there's nothing else that you have in this world. Right? So that's my view. And I've shared this before. Right? And then for you to come back and say, Khosi's a rape apologist. I'm like, where does that come from? All I was saying is, can we use logic to determine whether this guy can be accused or whether this guy is the perpetrator of the most heinous crime that a man can commit in today's society in history? The most vicious crime. If you're going to accuse someone of the most vicious crime that can be committed by man, can we at least be sure that he did it?
Nah, fair.
That's
not
all
fair.
I was saying. Can we be sure? So if he says, I wasn't even in the province.
Check. Nah, but
that's something that you need to prove. He's not saying, no, I was at home with my friends in Cape Town, I was in Mampa. He says, I wasn't even in the province. Right? And I don't know where the story ended up. But and then I ghosted this hun. Sam. I ghosted this hun. Then I see her a couple months later. When I say the hatred in her eyes when she saw me. The hatred in her eyes. And I knew. I was like, damn, I fucked up here. Right? Because I still think she's a good person. I just think that, you know, the wokest agenda got in between what could have been something beautiful between us. Right? Just in terms from a relationship point of view, that we could have really had something good. But, you know, she couldn't respect the fact that I'm willing to think beyond, you know, the herd mentality of the wokest agenda. Because he's been accused, now we have to run with it. Like, I'm like, an anonymous accusation on Twitter by a burner account is not something I'm going to accuse a man by. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Now, if it was a different situation where one person said and another person came through and people, you know, he's got a track record of people saying he abuses his power and position as the president of the SRC to get with people, that's a different conversation than I say Cheyenne Lenja.
Yeah, you know, not fair.
I mean? But I was just like, and I don't know where it ended. I'm not, you know, coming to this man's defense. That's not what I'm doing. It sounds like that because I'm making reference to where the conversation was at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know where the conversation ended if more evidence against him came up. I didn't follow it. I stopped following it after I cut ties with this hun. I stopped following the situation.
It was too personal.
It was too personal. I stopped following it, right? If it came out that this man did it, I hope that, you know, he was dealt with accordingly and that he's never able to find work in this country or anywhere globally, and I hope that he is actually serving time behind bars, right? That's my hope. But again, taking the conversation back to relationship, something that a true connection that I had with this individual, right, which I thought at the time was pure and true, was broken down because of her societal views, and something that really had nothing to do with us. Because I feel like if you love and respect someone, all you do is go have a conversation. Kumo, how many times have you said shit that I was like, nah, I don't fuck with that, and I'm gonna tell you that, nah, no, I actually don't respect
that
view.
Not
like that. And you do the same for me. And, you know, my first partner would do the same for me. If I said something that she thought was out, she'd come correct me. I remember this one time, you were actually there when we in KZN went to thing, and I've got a bit of a temper.
I've
got a temper, right? And we were debating something, and I got, I'm gonna say, passionate. Right?
Of course, he calls it passion when he starts throwing his hands around and he starts moving his body. It's called passion.
So my hands were flailing, you know, maybe a vein or two was popping in my throat while I was trying to articulate my point and, you know, get my point across. And the next morning, she said to me, "You've always told me you have a temper."
Yeah.
I've never experienced it. These are her words. I've never experienced it. I saw it for the first time. It frightened me. And I don't like it.
Mm.
If you're going to behave in that manner around me again, let me know now. And if you are unable to restrain yourself when we are having a civil debate, I would prefer to not have debates with you. I still love you. Still think you're a good person. But then we cannot engage in that manner.
Nah, fair.
And I was like, man, I gotta look at myself, right? Because everybody pushed it under the rug. I remember, like, my mom was like, yeah, we're used to Hosi.
Yeah.
This is how he is. Kumo was like, yeah, Hosi's doing that thing again, right? And all my friends would probably do the same thing. But she called me out on my BS and she said, I don't fuck with it. And I had to respect it, right?
Can I say, though, it is a bit different and, like, I don't know. I can only speak from this because I've had the experience. But I mean, if you have a sibling or something, watching a relationship from the outside and having to think about what your relationship with that person is and trying to apply the two are so hard. Like, one thing I always say is Hosi's a softie when it comes to relationships.
Yeah,
like
marshmallow.
Like, he becomes... Because you can imagine Hosi's been this alpha male, masculine, but sees his girlfriend. Now, all of a sudden, it's, hi, babe, I love you, and dun-dun, and dun-dun, and it's like, no ways. It's on some, this can't be true. This is not my brother. And then you have to then remember that the way you engage is so different. Because, I mean, I always say one of the hardest things is, like, Jose and I will have a relationship, and there's things we'll say that we think are so normal to us. And I think I can also speak to multiracial relationships, because that adds another thing to it. But there's things that we would say that we used to think were so normal, but the environment changes when you add a new person who's never been there, who's never seen it. Like, one of my favorite jokes I always tell Khosi, Khosi tends to like all women. I tend to believe, like, queens up and everything, but, like, yeah, my track record is looking a bit...
Say it. Say it.
No?
You are racist. You do not look at anyone other than black women. But your girlfriend is white. How nice.
All I'm saying is, I like beautiful women. Those are the words I'm going to use. But I think, like, I used to say to Khosi, at least you get to dap up the gardener as the only other black guy there. And that was something that we used to laugh about all the time.
All the time. And then until it actually happened.
Yeah.
So we actually used to say that joke all the time around behind, right?
Yeah.
And then this one time, we went to... So, reference, Mahan is white passing. She's a biracial individual.
Yeah.
Right? Raised by her colored family, but, you know, white passing because her dad is Dutch. So, we go visit her colored family, and her cousin is also dating a black guy. And I saw this black guy in the driveway as we went in. And I said, like, to her, I was like, please tell me that's not the gardener. Because we're always talking about there's only ever being two black people in a room when I'm with her family, it being myself and the gardener. And then she was like, no, that's Lee. Oh, shit, I'm not supposed to be saying names.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that's, you know, my cousin's boyfriend, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And safest, him and I dab each other up. You know when you, like, he was so excited that there's another nigga around the family now. But, and then, yeah, yo, that was an experience in itself. But, yeah, I'm going to let you continue with what you were saying.
But, no, I think what makes it interesting but hard at the same time is there's things we've grown up to accept that they don't get to accept and haven't grown with. And I don't think people realize how much growing actually happens, and how much your family sees you grow. And I mean, family can be anyone. But there's things that happen on a regular basis that we deem so normal that in a relationship become so, like, outlandish.
Yeah.
And I think having to deal with those things is incredibly hard. Because I think what makes it interesting but hard at the same time is... what you think is normal to everyone or is normal to you, is it normal in a relationship always? And when you have to engage with that, when you have to actually unpack it, you realize how much things that were normal in air quotations actually aren't, and how, like, messed up society is, or how messed up... And I don't want to say messed up because people are going to think, like, you were raised wrong, but there were certain things that we deemed acceptable just by the nature of who we were. Like, one of the things I always say is, like, the nature of me is to be nonchalant, and that's because my family's always allowed me to be nonchalant. And I don't mean this in, like, decision making or anything, but I've never really had to care. I've always been on that, like, I don't really care, like, you can do whatever.
Yeah.
So I tend to be a very unjealous person. And in a relationship, that can go really badly, really quickly, because all of a sudden you're now this, like, individual who sees somebody, or you see someone speaking to your significant other, and then I'm so unfazed by it. I look at it and I go, oh, okay, she's having fun. That's that. But then on the flip end, I think it's okay for me. Well, not okay for me to flirt in any instance, because I think there's boundaries, but I don't think about what the effect is on someone else. Then I'll go speak to, because I tend to have a lot of female acquaintances. I'll go speak to them, hug them. Ayo, what's up, friend? You know, we've been chatting. And then all of a sudden your girlfriend gives you that look. She doesn't even give you that look. She goes quiet. Now we're in public, she's quiet, not speaking to you.
Yeah.
And you're trying to unpack the whole night. You started at, okay, we walked in, I dapped up the bouncer. What happened? Okay, after we dapped up the bouncer, I bought her a drink, I checked if she was okay, she went to go speak to people, blah blah. And it's only then that you realize, like, snap, like, there's small nuances that you deem so normal, so okay, that somebody else might see a huge like difference in. I mean, my favorite example at the moment is in my current relationship. So I have a female best friend. I love her to death. She has been around for what I'd say 5 or 6 years now. Everyone is so confused because in Khosi's words, like, most people are like, how are you not with this hun? I mean, Khosi thought I was gay because of this hun.
First of all, this hun is gorgeous. Right? Like, she's absolutely gorgeous. You guys have been best friends for like since in primary school, fair. But I was just like, you know, there's no way.
No, there's very much. There's a way. There's a way. If there's a will, there's a way.
I've got a female best friend, right? And me, I've boned my female best friend. Let me not lie to you. Me, I've laid that thing down. And then, you know, at some point, we had a conversation. We were like, okay, we can't do this anymore.
Because it's going to ruin what our friendship is. Because
it's going to ruin our friendship. But me, I'm being honest. Me, I've slept with my female best friend.
That's disgusting. Right?
And
fix yourself.
I don't think I'll do it again because we've set that boundary. I wouldn't do it again. But at the time, like, there was just way too much sexual tension between us that it, like, it was inevitable.
Fair, but right? I think it's different when you've I think it's different because I've seen her grow. We've grown with each other. Like, we've gone from very small to, like,
but, like,
very
you guys have only been friends since you're, like, what, 13?
Nah, since about 11.
When you're 11, you're not thinking
about
that
you're
stuff.
Not exactly.
But 13, I'm thinking grade 7 coming into high school. You know, if I had a female best friend that I only met at 13, you know, I would have thought of kissing you at that, you know.
Nah, but also there was other people in the equation. That's what I'm saying. Like, we've never, like, if I think about it, there was other people in the equation. Those people are still part of the equation, oddly enough, but not like we're in a relationship or anything. But, like, my girlfriend absolutely lost it, eh? Like, she fully went... I told her, because I don't even know how the conversation came up. I had a female best friend. Oh, I'm lying. Her friend went onto my Instagram, looked at my tag, found that I've been tagged on a bunch of photos. Okay, this is bad, because now people can go into my tag and see who it is. But found out, and then showed my girlfriend and was like, do you know who this is? So that happens, and then my girlfriend throws a shot at her. In conversation, and I'm like, yo, and then I have to be on some. Okay, now I.
Nah, but salute to your hand, because to be honest, I wouldn't allow a hand that I'm dating to have a male best friend. Because
why?
No, like, even my female best friend knows this. The moment I go into a serious relationship, right, with someone that I love, respect, and care for, I'm going to put up boundaries in my friendship because I know that we have a sexual past together.
That will make my
partner uncomfortable, right? But because of how I relate to, look, I'm sorry, I don't believe that, you know, platonic relationships between attractive males and females is a thing, right? Because I don't know, maybe it's because I went to a boys' school and the only time I interacted with females was when there was expectation of something going further, right? But I find myself, even in today's society, like, having it left the world of being in a boys' school, I'm like, even when I still engage with females that aren't, I don't regard as family, right? When I first meet a female, I go through the evaluation checklist of, okay, she's attractive. She speaks well. No, even like, it's subconscious. I'm not saying I'm going through a checklist, but subconsciously,
it happens,
I recognize, damn, she's attractive. Okay. Ooh, she speaks well. My mind doesn't go to friendship. It goes to, this seems like someone worth getting to know beyond a friendship, right? And sometimes that, like, it festers and it disappears, right? It's like just the thought that disappears. Yeah. But when, like I said, my female best friend now, right, she's like the female version of my personality. If I was a female, we'd be the same person. Like, it's crazy how alike we are, right? So because of that, her and I clicked instantly. And like I said, because I'm a boys' school boy, I was unable to, separate that from a romantic connection, because I'm like, if there's a girl that you get on with this well, she has to be your partner, right? But I didn't even think, okay, wait, no, yo, that's so deep, that's a lie. I never thought of her in a romantic sense that deep, but, you know, it was definitely clear to me that one, she was attracted to me, right? Because I'm not stupid, and yeah, I can read body language and conversation, and that she was trying to put moves on me. At first, I could read this, and as soon as she initiated, even whether it be subconsciously, as soon as she showed me that there would be a possibility of us going further than just a platonic friendship, I went on hunt mode. I knew that we were gonna end up sleeping together. Yo, that's so blunt.
Yeah, I know.
Yo, my mother might hear this. Like, yo. But I knew the direction I was gonna go, right? And for those reasons, because of how I think, I know for a fact that I wouldn't be comfortable with one, my significant other, having a male best friend, especially one that comes from a similar background to mine. Because this is not, you know, independent thinking to myself. I was in the boarding house. I know the conversations I had with niggas.
Fair.
Right? And I know how niggas think. So I'm like, I'm not going to be comfortable with my hand having that. But the inverse of it is, I also don't believe that it's okay for me to have a close relationship with a female when I'm in a committed relationship, because I know that that then opens the opportunity for mistakes to happen. And not to say that I'm someone that is prone to cheating. I don't see cheating as a viable option within a long-term relationship. I'm not 100% against it. And that's a different conversation
I feel like
stepping out on your relationship has its time when it's consensual and whatever, like that's a conversation, right? So there'll be a time in life where stepping out of your marriage or something, your marriage or your relationship, is a conversation on both sides. I'm not just talking in terms of the man, right? On both sides, female stepping out and the male stepping out of their relationship, right? But I don't think it's healthy for that relationship to have temptation at your fingertips continuously.
This is where I do want to say though, because I can make the argument. I'm of a different mindset, but maybe that's because like I actually have a lot of platonic female and male friends, and I think I'm slightly different in the sense of I feel like my tracks, like I feel like my standards are a bit high, you know. Unless I'm trying to like just, you know, collect stats, you know, as they say, that going a good night.
Just like I said, collect stats.
Going a good night out, and the boys are like, you know, boys, today we're out here to completely just, you know, just jump out and just do what we need to. This, I think,
collect bodies.
Yeah, exactly. Collect bodies, but I think it's a very different engagement, because I think for me, I can very quickly tell if someone is like me or isn't like me. And I say this in the sense of most of the people who end up being my platonic, like opposite gendered friends, are the people who live a completely opposite lifestyle to me.
Kumo, did you just say opposite gender?
Kind
of insinuates that you only believe in, you know,
there
being two genders, which I find insulting, because how dare.
Somebody must clip this. Somebody must clip this and they'll cancel you fast.
How dare you hold such a view? Okay. Because, like, honestly, to say that there's an opposite gender insinuates that you are one and there is only another.
Shut up.
Gender is a spectrum.
No, please, like, I
did you know that there's 57 genders?
Aye, Khosi, 50 man? 50 where? 50 who? 57.
Hey, that's not the conversation.
57.
Today.
Nah, that's not the conversation today. But like I said, my best friend's my opposite. Complete extrovert, goes out there all the time. Like, we don't see. When I say she's my best friend, I say this in every instance as she's my sister. Like, we speak once in a month. We speak once in a month. We'll call. I'll check up on her, check on how her boyfriend's doing and everything. And then.
And look. Like, I'm going to be honest, I salute that. I have the same relationship with my female best friend. Like, we are in no way still communicating romantically or...
For sure.
We still talk and we help each other in terms of, like, relationship drama that we're going through. We have conversations. We have conversations about life, you know. There's... I feel really comfortable around her, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm able to tell her and show her parts of myself that I wouldn't ordinarily show
everyone else,
you know, society. But we're two alike, so that means my flaws are her flaws.
This is
right?
This is what I do say though. The mistake people make, and this is why I say I'm not opposed to best opposite friends. There's a difference between having someone who is in the post-production and someone who's in the production.
What do you mean?
In the sense that the mistake people make is you have a fight with your girlfriend, you go tell her about that fight in that moment before it's sorted out, versus you having a fight, sorting the fight out, discussing it out after. Because I feel like when they become an additional person within that relationship,
yeah,
right, they become too big of a stakeholder, which is why I'm not opposed to any friendship in general, but I think it's the same thing. Like, if your boys knew your girlfriend is fighting with you and you're fighting about X, Y, and Z, the same chat you had about having an open conversation, and that conversation comes back to you through the grapevine.
Yeah.
There's almost a sense of, but we didn't sort that out, if you know what I mean. And I think that's why it's very specific and very unique. Like, I don't think it's about whether or not you're female or whether or not you're male or whether or not you're any gender in which you decide. It's fully just about how you engage with friendships and everything. Because I think in the same extent for me, where I look at it is even the people that I do spend time with and people I party with, because I party with a similar amount of people all the time, is that they live a complete opposite life to me, that it's impossible for me to confuse you for what I love and who the person is. Because when I look at my girlfriend, she's an introvert just like me. We love spending time together. If my best friend was someone like me, my girlfriend has every right to be, I don't want to say worried, because I wouldn't be worried, but like, she has every right to say, "Ayo, chief, you need to like switch that thing off." And I think it's in that way, if they become a safety net, it's problematic. But if they're a friend, and I mean friend in every instance, in terms of like how they engage with you, the advice you give, how you talk, it's two different conversations. And that's why I think it's not, for me, it's not about the gender of the individual. That's why I've never been fazed whether or not it's a guy or a girl, but it's about how that individual plays into your relationship.
I'm going to disagree with you, right? Which is okay. We're allowed to disagree on the show. That's what this show is about.
Facts.
But my thing is, your duty as a partner to your partner, right, is to offer them security within the relationship. And unfortunately, you know, having an individual of the opposite sex, right, that close to you and understand you that well that you're able to uncloak yourself for them is very intimidating to your partner. Especially, remember, now we in the stage of our lives where we didn't grow up with our partners.
Yeah.
So they don't know our story from day one. They learn about it as they come along, right? Fair. So you need to understand, it's very intimidating when, even for me as a guy, I'm not, let me remove the conversation from females, but even for me as a guy, if I meet you and there's a guy that on the standard of good looking males, I'm like, he's a decent looking guy, right? And then you are so comfortable with him that you're able to have conversations that at some point might seem deeper than the conversations we have, right? Because you've known him for longer. You guys have built a bond that can't be broken at that point in time, right? For me, it's very intimidating. I'm like, I don't want my partner to have a relationship that deep with a male that's not family other than myself. And that's what I call to be I am a possessive partner in that sense, right? But I also respect that of my partner. So that's why I would distance myself from that situation. I feel like I'd be disrespecting my partner because, like I say, I want my partner to feel as if they are my second half. Not only do they, I want them to feel that, I want them to be that for me.
Yeah.
Now, how can I say that, right? Or how do I emulate that, but then have an emotional, you know, connection that is similar to someone who I have a platonic relationship with at this point? I'm like, that's like having two girlfriends, but you sleep with the one and you don't sleep with the other. And unfortunately, that is threatening to whoever, whether it be girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the situation is. I don't feel like that's okay. So I would cut it off from that premise because I feel like your partner should be that individual for you. Now, it's great. I really love my relationship that I have with my female best friend, right? But if she was to date a man that she really respected, right? And that she felt like that was a real relationship she wanted to invest in, I would gladly take a step back when asked to.
Let me throw a parallel at you, though. Your girlfriend is bisexual. She has a female best friend who is just as active, also bisexual, or we could even consider les. Does she have the same role and responsibility as a male?
Ish. Yeah. And this is not because my response, I needed because I already hear the workers saying, it's because you sexualize relationships between women and you don't. Here's the thing, and this is my genuine view, having dated a bisexual individual.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like as a man, and as a male, there's only so much that I can offer you in the realm of masculinity. Let me finish.
I know where this is going.
There's only so much I can offer you in the realm of masculinity. So, if you then decide to step out, right? But it would have to be consensual. I'm not breaking. This is if we're in a non-monogamous relationship, right? You'd have to, or even in a monogamous relationship, you'd have to have a conversation with me to set me at ease and explain your reasoning to feeling that you need to explore, you know, your attraction to the, you know, your same-sex attraction, right?
Okay.
And personally, I feel that I'd be understanding of it in that sense, right? So I don't view it the same. And I've said this before. If my hun was to leave me for a female, right, it wouldn't hurt as much because
This is hyper masculine. All of like this is hey, like this is everything. You
let
know, like
me finish.
Yo.
And the reason I feel like it wouldn't hurt as much for me is because I wouldn't internalize it the same way as when it's a guy who she's fallen for. Because when it's a female, like I said, my belief is that we're equal but we're different, right? So there's so many things. I don't offer you femininity, me as a partner. And if that's your base of attraction, I'm sorry, but and that's what you feel like you desire in a partner. I know that you can't find it in me, right? So if you can't find it in me, go find it where you can. And I'm able to walk away from that with clarity to say I was the wrong person for her, right? Now, when you leave me for a guy, someone that I view myself to be in competition with, right? Or someone who I view to, that's the correct word, someone who I see myself to be in competition with. Why it hurts more is the conversation then goes for me. It says, what in my masculine state
was I not providing?
Was I not intellectually enough? Did I not have a good enough sense of humor? Was I not understanding enough? Was I not emotionally available enough? Where did I fall short as a man when another man was able to cover that distance? When it's a female, I'm not saying it's not wrong. If you're in a monogamous relationship, cheating is cheating. All I'm saying is for me personally, when my partner's bisexual and we're still very young, right? I'm not talking about at the age of 30. Right now, at the age of 19, right? If my partner is telling me, I'm a bisexual individual, I know this, but I'm yet to explore my sexuality with the next gender, and I'd like to know what that would entail, right? I feel like it's wrong for me to stand in your way.
Yeah, then leave. Uh-oh.
Why would I leave if we're in a commit? Like, I love you. That doesn't change that.
Yeah. Love here, leave.
That
I'm
doesn't
leaving.
Change that. So then I would allow. I'll say, you're allowed to explore your sexuality. Like and that wouldn't mean that I'm able. This is how far I've internalized it. Then you, as a female, as my partner, would be allowed to explore your sexuality.
Yeah.
With a female. Yeah. Right? Of your choosing. I'm not going to get involved in that. And that I don't believe that that would give me the license to sleep with other females.
Yeah.
I feel like I would still be indebted to you in the realm of a monogamous relationship. Yeah. And you can explore, right?
Yeah. If I was a female, I'd be crying. My man's getting boned by someone else. Lord.
That's what... No, so...
yo.
But that's what I'm saying. So, for instance... Yo, this will never happen. But if I was a bisexual male...
Yo.
Right?
Oh.
And I'm dating a woman.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, I understand that there's so much that you can't offer me in terms of masculinity. If I'm attracted to males, there's something specific I'm attracted to in them. I'm not going to get it from you. If I ask to explore that and you say no to me, I'm not saying I don't love you anymore. I'm saying there's something that you don't offer me that I'd like to understand what it is that my attraction to it entails on. If that's the end of our relationship, fair game. I'm not saying you're not allowed to walk away. I don't judge you if you walk away. All I'm saying is me, I understand that.
Nah, right? Nah. I'll tell you, you leave. Nah. This is my thing. And it's the same thing. Like, now, yeah, definitely. And I'll say this in closing. Maybe this is because of, like, this is also, I think this is also why I tend to find I'm a nonchalant individual. It's the same conversation I have with most people. If you're going to cheat, I'm going to be so unfazed. It's not even funny. I'm going to be so unfazed that it's not even funny, because my belief is if you cheat, sharp. Okay, that's you. That's it. That's the end. Right? In the same extent, I believe that, like, you should be able to do what you please, obviously within the bounds and means of a relationship, and you can define that because it's all subjective. But like you said, a partner is someone who is there for you, understands you, gets to unpack you, see all you as you for what you are. And I feel at the point at which you let somebody step in between that, it's a bit weird. Which is why I even say, like, the addition of family changes a relationship and flips it on its head, like, more than you'd ever notice. And you've also got, now you're dealing with another person's family. Already your family was falling apart. Now you must deal with the second broken home. It's just bad. But at the end of the day, a relationship, and I think that, and I also think that's why a lot of relationships aren't working, is relationships are meant to be about exploring, but exploring with each other and going into the world with each other. At the point at which somebody chooses their independence and decides to do it alone without you, I feel like you're no longer in a relationship. And I think that's why, for me, I feel like you should be allowed to do as you please. You should be allowed to, and this is not me saying you should be able to cheat, because I think there's boundaries. You should be able to be yourself and feel who you are, find who you are in a relationship, and be able to grow with each other. And I think society is losing that because relationships are transactional at this point. Uh-huh. It's about what you can achieve, what you can get out of them. And beyond that, it's also that relationships are becoming about exploring. Relationships are becoming about, because I'm like, I'm not going to even start on this, but I'm like, this idea that everyone is like bisexual and not even going to touch on it. But the fact that a lot of people just feel like they can do whatever they please and flow with whatever they woke up with, it's annoying. And I think,
of time, you know what I'm going to say? This needs a part two, right? And where the conversation is no longer about necessarily one-on-one relationships, because I feel like that was the epicenter of today's.
Yeah.
Right? One-on-one individual relationships and how we relate to relationships. I think the next conversation is going to be, what does monogamy look like in the 21st century?
Yeah. Right?
Monogamy versus polyamory versus, what's the other amory?
I don't know.
Polygamy, polyamory, and monogamy. What do those look like? Which one is most practical? Pair that with, you know,
monogamy is practical.
Pair that with the difference in sexuality that we see in the 21st century. What does the dating scene look like then? But my name is Khositile Mashokane. You are listening to the Misunderstood Podcast. This episode has been an absolute whirlwind. And obviously, I'm here with my baby brother. Ukumukumalo, you know, closing words is going to be, as always, peace, love, and prosperity to the world. Until next time, the word is salute.
Yeah, and for me, I just know Jolo will hit you. Hopefully you enjoy your life and you find someone who can be your somebody. Thank you.